All right, Kristen Welker at the White House. Here now is the President of the United States.
My fellow Americans, God bless you and God bless America. Thank you.
He managed to mistakenly claim that imports from Europe were being cut off, which they were not, that insurers would waive copays not just for testing but for treatment, which at present they won't, and he seemed to imply that Americans in Europe could not get back into the country, which they can. And even he didn't seem entirely satisfied with his performance, because the moment the speech was over, this was his actual reaction.
Okay.
We're going to be pretty soon at only five people. And we could be at just one or two people over the next short period of time.
Congress's top doctor has told Senate staffers that he expects 70 to 150 million Americans to contract the coronavirus.
I mean, view this the same as the flu.
The mortality of this is multiple times what seasonal flu is.
Anybody that needs a test gets a test.
We don't have enough tests today.
We're very close to a vaccine.
When you're talking about the availability of a vaccine, you're talking about a year to a year and a half.
A lot of people think that goes away in April with the heat.
We do not know whether it's going to diminish as the weather gets warm.
The risk of contracting the coronavirus to the American public remains low.
We do expect more cases.
We can expect to see more cases in the United States.
We will see more cases, and things will get worse than they are right now.
It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
The president at times downplayed the threat and said it would just wash away. He dismissed his own potential exposure to the virus multiple times, but then he said he would likely be tested soon. He was also defiant that the testing issues that have plagued our understanding of the scope and severity of this threat were not his fault.
In the Rose Garden, the president was quick to take credit for some of his administration's efforts on the coronavirus challenge. But when it came to all the problems with testing...
I don't take responsibility at all because we were given
You said that you don't take responsibility, but you did disband the White House pandemic office, and the officials that were working in that office left this administration abruptly. So what responsibility do you take to that? And the officials that worked in that office said that the White House lost valuable time because that office wasn't disbanded. What do you make of that?
Well, I just think it's a nasty question, because what we've done is, and Tony has said numerous times that we've saved thousands of lives because of the quick closing. And when you say me, I didn't do it.
I didn't do it. Nobody saw me do it. There's no way they can prove anything. I didn't do it.
I didn't do it. I don't know anything about it. Maybe someone in the administration did it. Maybe Tony did it. These things happen. I don't know. Again, we're doing a great job.
I didn't do it.
This is what they do. This is what they do. They build airports. They build bridges. They build hospitals. This is exactly what they do. Deploy the Army Corps of Engineers to come work with states to build temporary medical facilities. Get us backup beds. So when the hospital is overwhelmed, we can have some of the people who are in the hospital beds go to a backup medical facility. It makes all the sense in the world. And if you don't do it, you know what is going to happen. You're going to overwhelm the hospitals. You only have 53,000 hospital beds. You only have 3,000 ICU beds. Why? Because our health system is basically a private system. They don't build capacity that they don't need. They don't build extra ICU beds just in case. An intensive care bed is very expensive. They don't build a wing of ICU beds that sit vacant for 10 years on the off chance that there's going to be a public health emergency and you'll need the beds. They don't. It's not economic. It's not their business model. So we don't have them. We have the capacity that people use day in and day out. And that's not just New York. That's every state in the United States. You now have this influx. You can't handle it. You overwhelm the hospitals. You have people on gurneys in hallways. That is what is going to happen now if we do nothing. That is what is going to happen now if we do nothing. We know what lies ahead. Look at the numbers from China, South Korea, and Italy. You don't have to guess. You just have to project. And you compare those numbers to our hospital capacity, and it's still math at the end of the day. And it doesn't work. The federal government must do this.
After bragging about working so well with state leaders, Trump immediately had harsh words for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Cuomo wants all the states to be treated the same, but all states aren't the same. Some are being hit hard by the Chinese virus. Some are being hit practically not at all. New York is a very big hotspot. West Virginia has, thus far, zero cases. Federal government is working very well with the governors and state officials. Good things will happen. Hashtag kill the virus.
Okay, I get the idea of what he's saying, but it's not the most comforting when pleasant words like good things will happen are followed by kill it. Have a beautiful wedding, but first, let's throw rocks at the old boyfriend.
This is yet another attempt to impeach the president. And sadly, it seems they care very little for any of the destruction they are leaving in their wake. We must test for the virus in order to stop the spread of it. What could be a very great recession, some predicting even a depression.
At worst case scenario, it could be the flu.
I feel like the more I learn about this, the less there is to worry about.
I was about to say the same thing. We don't have immunity to this virus. It's a new virus. It's a pandemic strain of a virus we haven't seen before.
All the talk about coronavirus being so much more deadly doesn't reflect reality. Without a vaccine, the flu would be far more deadly. We are facing an incredibly contagious and dangerous virus that is moving across the world from one hotspot to another.
We're going to call out anyone and everyone who's using this virus as a political weapon against the president. The standard flu every single year kills tens of thousands of Americans. We are now entering what will be the crucial defining 15-day period as it relates to this virus, where we must slow the spread of coronavirus.
It's actually the safest time to fly. Everyone I know that's flying right now, terminals are pretty much dead. We have a responsibility to slow down this virus and to think of other people during this time. And so if you can keep your distance and prevent someone from getting close to you that might be sick, you could save your family, you can save the elderly, and help our country as a nation.
It is absolutely disgusting that Democrats are seeking to use this complex virus to score cheap political points. This dangerous health crisis could dovetail quickly into a political crisis, already feeling economic ramifications of it all.
Keep your distance, oh, keep your distance.
One day we'll be standing possibly up here, we'll say, well, we won. And we're going to say that. Sure as you're sitting there, we're going to say that. And we're going to win. And I think we're going to win faster than people think, I hope.
You know, when Trump said we were going to be sick of winning, I didn't know he meant that literally.
We will have so much winning if I get elected that you may get bored with winning. Believe me, I agree. You'll never get bored with winning. We never get bored. We are going to turn this country around. We are going to start winning big league.
But I do say no more than 10 to 20 million killed, tops, depending on the breaks.
The president says no one could have seen this coming. Just assess that from where you sit and from your experience. When the president stands up there and says no one could have seen this come, no one could have seen this coming, no one could have anticipated this kind of need, what's your ruling on that?
Well, I'm thinking, John, about a story that ran in Politico 2 days ago that talked about a tabletop exercise that the outgoing Obama team did with the incoming Trump team 7 days before the President Trump took office. I was part of that meeting. And during that tabletop exercise, we gamed out three possible scenarios that they might have to face: a hurricane, a cyber attack, and a pandemic. And so to say that they were not never warned about this is just simply false. In fact, we've known about this, you know, since these reports came out of China at the end of last year. There were several months of lead time that would have been really useful and helpful in terms of dealing with a public health crisis.
The system is not really geared to what we need right now. That is a failing. It is a failing. I mean, let's admit it. The idea of anybody getting it easily the way people in other countries are doing it, we're not set up for that. Do I think we should be? Yes, but we're not.
But it's so late in the process. It's like an international embarrassment of how much we have messed up this entire process of testing that is so critical to our understanding of the disease. The United States of America has tested 5 people for every million in our population, and there's a whole range of countries in between. South Korea, over 3,000 tests per million. And it's just extraordinary. It's inexplicable. We've seen, you know, big problems with governments around disasters before, and I'm remembering unfondly, but I'm remembering, you know, Michael Brown in the Katrina response, and that was, you know, bad. But that was nothing compared to what we're doing here, and it's not stopping. And I think more happy talk from the president and this team around him is not helping.
Do you think the president, Donald Trump, has done a good job with this coronavirus?
I think there's a lot of opportunity for him to take I think he has delegated a lot of work to people who know what they're doing, mm-hmm. and who hopefully can be listened to and can feel like they can speak the truth about right. what's actually going on and what needs to be done
right.
without needing to be too obsequious
right.
or needing to kiss up too much. Everyone's going to have to sacrifice something
right.
for this effort.
You know, this is going to go into the tens of thousands in a matter of days.
Let's listen to what Peter Alexander asked the president today about the way people are able to get tested, depending apparently on who they are.
How are non-symptomatic professional athletes getting tests while others are waiting in line and can't get them? Do the well-connected go to the front of the line?
Well, that you'd have to ask them that question. I mean, I've read. No, I wouldn't say so, but perhaps that's been the story of life. That does happen on occasion.
It is no secret that a dangerous, scary, and infectious disease has been dominating the news cycle of late. And it's here to chat with us now. President Trump, thank you so much for taking the time. Sir, you originally called the coronavirus a Democratic hoax. Now that it has become a major health crisis around the world, do you regret that response?
That's just a continuation of the hoax, whether it's the impeachment hoax or the Russia, Russia, Russia hoax. This is what I'm talking about. Certainly not referring to this. How could anybody refer to this? This is very serious stuff. And that's the hoax. That's what I'm talking about.
But, sir,
the state of this bug is blurry. Everyone's hypertense, anxious, afraid, unsettled, and upset.
I want to thank Mike Pence and everybody for the job they're doing. We have a great team.
You tell us not to worry. Passing the ball to Pence? Politicizing a global pandemic threat.
There's no reason to panic. You will probably, you'll be fine.
In other words, while you're worrying more for your own re-election bid, a person could develop COVID. You can say it's a con, but the stock market's still on its way to hell. You can call it a hoax, but it's hard to make jokes when there's no Purell. While your goal is deflection from this new infection that you can't spell, a person could develop a cold.
At President Trump's direction, this is an all-hands-on-deck effort.
A parasite such as this one latches on to its host, typically getting thrown under the bus.
This morning we talked a great deal about additional medical supplies.
Acting like a physician, hoping to hold its post. while osculating the gluteus maximus.
From the moment that this country learned of the spread of the coronavirus, President Donald Trump took decisive action.
In other words, just from kissing Trump by indulging his ego trips, a person can develop chapped lips.
We're all in this together.
He can pray every day till the gay goes away. Hey, it's worth a shot. He can climate deny till the oceans are dry and the earth gets hot. But if praying that deadly diseases don't spread is the best he's got, some persons could develop a cold. Let's see. It says here, of spreading coronavirus, currently risk is low. Oh, turn off the lights and hide, though, just in case. That doesn't sound terribly comforting. Lock yourself in your bathroom. Scrub till your tendons show. But don't touch your hands, the faucet, the soap, or your face. My God, what have I done? In other words, from too much information and not enough testing kits, a person can develop this sh- You can spray all the hand sanitizer wherever the virus lurks. But good luck finding any on Amazon or Bath and Body Works. If the experts assembled to save you are led by a bunch of jerks, a person can develop a cold.
Fast-moving developments in the coronavirus outbreak.
And furthermore, just from Googling symptoms until you've become obsessed, I have that, a person can get very depressed. So you calm yourself down while surrounded by all your home remedies. And you click on your favorite Real Housewives to put up on mind at ease. Then they blow up your phone with alerts every time they hear someone sneeze. Girl, a person can develop a tick. Now, a crick. Oh, or make himself sick. Ugh, from the wiping, overhyping, and a POTUS who acts like a prick. Ooh. From a lack of intelligent leadership and a headline that's getting real old.
Pandemic.
A person can develop a bad, bad cold.
Hey. You'll be fine.
Girl, get tested.
Okay.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Don't come around here no more.
Come around here no more. Next to me, listening to WGXC. Oh, no, no. It's ecstasy, yeah. When you are laying down next to me, listening to WGXC 90.7, Acre, Hudson, Catskill. This is so right for you and for me. This WGXC.
Throughout the COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak throughout the Hudson Valley, WGXC is doing everything we can to provide you with information about what's going on, new regulations, and how you can help. Another way you can help is that the American Red Cross is warning of a blood shortage. Quote, the organization says fear of spreading the coronavirus prompted the cancellation of blood drives around the country, bringing the blood supply to dangerously low levels. The Red Cross is urging those who can to donate blood and have provided a list of the precautions the Red Cross is taking to keep donors healthy at redcrossblood.org. You can find where to donate at redcrossblood.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Catherine Bauer of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming on WGXC 90.7 FM. Grabbable, handleable, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Trump's pandemic response, pander to CEOs, abandon workers. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. No, I don't take responsibility at all. President Donald Trump declared, blaming his deadly delayed response to the coronavirus pandemic on everyone from China to Obama to the Democrats. Meanwhile, Trump is pushing a taxpayer-funded stimulus package that will redistribute wealth to the rich. Hundreds of thousands have already lost their jobs, with many millions more predicted. The scale of the pandemic in the United States is unknown as we write, as testing for the coronavirus infection has been grievously delayed. Over 9,000 people in the United States have been infected, with more than 150 dead and only 8 recovered. Per the website ncov2019.live, developed by 17-year-old Seattle high schooler Avi Schiffman, the true number of infections when testing begins in earnest will be many times higher. State and local governments, reeling from Trump's failures, are implementing measures unprecedented in living memory. Close to 30 state governments have activated the National Guard and have passed laws or resolutions involving emergency funding, worker protections, medical coverage, and epidemiological efforts like disease surveillance, isolation, and quarantine. San Francisco and 6 surrounding counties issued the country's strictest public health order on Monday, requiring the region's 7 million people to shelter in place. A summary of the order, enforced through April 7th but extendable, reads, "Vulnerable populations must stay home. Everyone else is required to stay home except to get food, care for a relative or friend, get necessary health care, and go to an essential job," they wrote. Many states are ordering bars, restaurants, casinos, and similar businesses to close or to limit their food service to pickup or delivery orders only. The National Restaurant Association warned forecasts reveal the industry will sustain at least a $225 billion loss and be forced to eliminate between 5 to 7 million jobs over the next 3 months. This also affects those that rely on restaurants, like food service suppliers, food delivery businesses, and local governments that depend on sales tax revenues. Most devastatingly impacted, however, are the workers who are abruptly laid off.
I think that we're just the tip of the iceberg.
That's Saru Jayaraman, co-founder of Restaurant Opportunity Centers United, speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour while sheltering in place from her home in Berkeley, California.
We started a relief fund for these workers Monday morning at 9:30. We've had almost 15,000 workers apply for relief in just over a 24-hour period.
On Wednesday, the Senate passed the Families First Coronavirus Response Act, which Trump quickly signed. The paid sick leave provision covers less than 20% of the workforce, excluding businesses with over 500 employees and those with less than 50, thus denying coverage to tens of millions of workers. Saru Jayaraman highlighted the restaurant industry's
severe structural inequality problems that existed long before this crisis. In particular, this industry, unlike almost every other industry, was allowed to pay a sub-minimum wage to its tipped workers, forcing them to live off of tips. That's an actual literal legacy of slavery and a source of terrible sexual harassment for a mostly female workforce of servers and bartenders and bussers. Now, think about that workforce when it's laid off. First of all, there have been very little tips in the last few weeks leading up to shutdowns. And so already people were struggling. With layoff, people have been living, I call it literally tip to mouth. They got tips on Friday. They were laid off over the weekend. They can't feed their kids on Monday.
You won't see any laid-off workers invited to the White House as Donald Trump parades executives from different industries before the cameras. Trump spoke Tuesday with CEOs from the fast food industry. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich tweeted afterwards, "McDonald's, Burger King, Pizza Hut, Dunkin' Donuts, Wendy's, Taco Bell, Subway, none give their workers paid sick leave. They should be required to post this sign on their doors. Because we don't give our workers paid sick leave, they may be sick when they serve you," he tweeted. Congress is now fast-tracking another stimulus package, expected to top $1.5 trillion, including direct payments to many Americans. The details of who qualifies are unclear, and massive bailouts to the airline industry, cruise lines, and the fracking industry. Trump also said Wednesday he would invoke the Defense Production Act, granting him a slew of semi-autocratic powers, allowing him to commandeer entire sections of the economy. Author Naomi Klein argues that any taxpayer-funded bailout should be invested in a Green New Deal, while Robert Reich says, quote, no industry, not airlines, not hotels, not cruise ships should be bailed out. They can stay in business by borrowing at rock-bottom rates, using their assets as collateral. Taxpayer money should be used to bail out people, not corporations, he tweeted. Donald Trump's ignorance and criminal negligence have greatly exacerbated the COVID-19 contagion. His denial of science, which among other disasters led him to disband his pandemic response team in 2018, and his ultra-nationalism and xenophobia, leading him to reject the World Health Organization's proven coronavirus test, losing critical response time. Trump has recklessly failed in his response to the pandemic. It's up to all of us together to flatten the curve and limit the damage he's inflicting. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
Yeah, for some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.